Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this peopleyoushouldmeet.com call called How to Transcend Your Limiting Beliefs. My name is Damien Sen, and in a very short moment, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Shelby Collins. But before I do that, I just thought I'd take a few moments up front to let you know how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is the first People You Should Meet call that you've been on. Now, we'll be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Shelby a whole range of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own questions, but the vast majority will actually be questions that have come through the website prior to kicking the call off. Now, this has been an incredibly popular topic, and I know for lots of people, interpersonal development beliefs is one of the bedrocks of understanding who you are and how you can perform at the very best of your ability. So it's a call that I'm exceptionally excited about, and I can't wait to hear what Shelby has to say on the topic. Now, I've only known Shelby for about a week. We've only just become very, very new friends, and I was actually introduced to Shelby through a very good friend of mine, Bruce Music, who I know many people on the call will know of. Now, whenever Bruce recommends that I do anything, I'm always fully alert and attentive, and he basically said, look, check out Shelby. She's a friend of mine. She's from Vegas. She does lots of really interesting work on beliefs, and he said, you know, check out this audio recording, and I listened to this one-hour teleseminar recording that Shelby did, and it was phenomenal. And I made lots of personal distinctions for myself, and I just was so fired up about it, I couldn't wait to actually get in touch with Shelby and line her up for a People You Should Meet call. Shelby is the president and CEO of a company called Limitless Possibilities, an organisation she founded to serve the needs of individuals who are looking to align their thoughts, feelings and beliefs with what they want rather than what they don't want. Shelby has clients all over the world in 68 different countries, and I'm really, really excited to have her on the call. So welcome, Shelby.
Thank you, Damien. I'm so glad to be here.
This is very, very exciting. Now, Shelby, I thought we'd begin at the top, and just wondering if you could help all of us out on the call by letting us know what a limiting belief is.
Well, a limiting belief is anything that doesn't serve you. It's anything that actually is holding you back rather than helping you propel forward. And they don't feel good, that's for sure. When you think things that are limiting, they're negative, they're lack-filled. And so it's typically something that we've been told and or a conclusion we've kind of drawn upon. So we've had a couple of failures, or, you know, you dated several people and it didn't work out, or you've been married more than once, or you continually have an illness. We tend to start believing past experiences. So an experience happens, and rather than just letting it be an experience that happens, we draw a belief or a conclusion about that. And very often they're in the limiting frame of mind. They're not empowering. They're not encouraging. It's very, don't move forward, be afraid. And so, yeah, that's what I would sum up as a limiting belief.
Great. And you also mentioned empowering beliefs. Is it possible to actually have a limiting belief and in some areas of your life and empowering beliefs in others?
Oh, absolutely. The things that we typically are most passionate about is where we have the most limitations, because it's the thing that means the most to us. Things that don't mean a lot, we very rarely have, you know, a care either way. So, you know, there's types of clothing out there that you really just are not interested in whatsoever. And so you could care less what they do with it, who comes out with it. It just doesn't appeal to you either way. Whereas if it's something that you wear a lot or something that's very comfortable, you have a real opinion about it because it matters. So you're going to find that all of the, you know, the limitation that's impeding you or keeping you from where you want to go is going to be in the areas that mean a lot. It's not going to be in, you know, hairstyles or, you know, types of food. It's going to be about relationships and money, the things that really matter. That's where all the limitations arise, because it's what we're thinking about a lot. It's what is important to us or what we deem critically necessary to survival. And so it's the things that we ponder about most.
That's really, really interesting. It reminded me of a quote that says, we fear the things that we want the most.
Yes. You know, Wayne Dyer wrote a book that says, you'll believe it, you'll see it when you believe it. And people really don't realize the power. I mean, it's like I saw the book, heard the book, thought, oh, my God, brilliant. And a lot of people don't get it. Oh, yeah, I get it. Okay, I'll see it when I believe it. But it's true. You will see it when you believe it. There's no kind of, 50% believability and it manifests. The only way things come into our experience is because we believe them. And I think that's a really great distinction for people, is that if something's happening that you're not in love with or that you really don't like or stresses you out, it's only because you're believing in it. It's your belief that gives it the power. If you, believe something else, and a good example, just so people can kind of get a picture of it, is, a lot of us have foods that we see and for whatever reason we just immediately say, no, I don't want that. I don't even want to try that. And you find yourself with a bunch of friends and somebody's ordered something that you really don't think you like, and they're a bit insistent that you try it. They're like, oh, come on, just try it. Just one little bite. And you're like, no, I really don't like fish. And they're like, come on. And you eventually try it. And immediately you think, wow, this isn't that bad. And immediately the belief changes. And so people think it's this really hard, obnoxious, laborious thing to change beliefs. But they're just thoughts that we can, think habitually, that we just think about again and again and again. That's all a belief is repetition of some story that you continually tell yourself. So the way you change a belief then is to change that story that you're telling yourself, right? It's to change what you're going to believe. And when you begin to change what you believe, then your results start to change. Then the people you need show up. And that's when it all happens. But it doesn't happen first. There's this mentality out there that goes something like, okay, I'm going to do this, and I have this desire. Maybe it's to start a business, or it's to, shed some weight, or to meet the person of my dreams, and I'm going to try this. And it's like they immediately think, like, somehow it's just all supposed to happen first crack out of the box. Like, there's never going to be an obstacle. Like, all the clients are just going to magically appear. And when that doesn't happen within a relatively short period of time, it's like, the whole idea, they throw it out. And there's nothing in life or in nature or in anything that happens like that. Right? I mean, if somebody wants to have a baby, they get pregnant, and it's 9 months that you go on, and especially if you're the mother, and you're living life for somebody else too, but all the while you don't have anything tangible, right? You still don't have a baby. You're just kind of, you've got to be that person beforehand. And then as a result, you get it. So people cannot have this kind of, okay, this is what I want. This is a goal. This is an intention. And a week later, it hasn't happened. Nope, done. On to the next. Because nothing works like that. And so I find that, a lot of the questions that, we receive and that I hear about a lot is this frustration factor, like, I've been trying this for 3 months, and it hasn't happened yet. And I'm like, okay, well, what does happen in 3 months? I mean, you very rarely can even fall in love in 3 months. I mean, there's a gestation period. In the Seven Laws of the Universe, it's called the gestation principle. Everything has a time and a place, and our job is to believe it before we see it, because when we believe it, that's how we'll see it. You've got to act as if long before you see any results.
I really resonated with that story you shared there with food. I remember growing up at school and being teased by other kids on one particular day because I literally didn't have a food that I disliked. And everyone else in my class seemed to have a food that they disliked, but I didn't have a food that I disliked. And then, wanting to resolve the situation, I decided I was going to take out my vengeance on mushrooms. And from that moment on, I decided that was it. Mushrooms are the food that I don't like. And up until that point, I actually really enjoyed mushrooms. And literally because I made that commitment in my mind, and I believed the story that all of a sudden I didn't enjoy mushrooms, and literally probably took me 10 or 15 years before I ate mushrooms again and returned to actually realizing that I liked them.
And that's the power of the mind, right? Again, people think that these beliefs that they have are you know, something that they have to keep, right? Like they're immovable, they're unpenetratable, and it's like, no, this is just, it's a story, really. You know, beliefs, we kind of weave it into a story. You know, oh, like right now the story is money's really hard to come by. You know, I had a conversation with my sister earlier today, and she's like, you know, now's the time. These were her words. Now's the time when you really have to hoard the money. And so, I mean, when you're hoarding money, you sure are not thinking prosperity. You're sure not thinking unlimited. You're sure not thinking limitless. There's a lot of restriction when you're hoarding. And so people don't really realize that, you know, every time they tell the story, every time they think the story, you know, is another time that, you know, they're increasing that belief in it. That's all they're doing, is cementing it further and further in mind. So, you know, the way you undo anything like that is, you know, one thought at a time. It's to catch yourself when you have these convictions, right? It's the things that we're most passionate about where we typically, like I said, have the most resistance and the most belief. So something that can set you off really quick is fabulous. It's fabulous grist for the mill, because there's where your triggers are, right? The things that can really set you off the quickest, the partner, the parent, you know, traffic, you know, all of those things are, you know, your signal that this is something that you're really, you know, excited about, and not in a very positive way. And so when we can be a little more responsible, right? I mean, the message I teach, and it's probably in every audio I've ever done, is we are 100% responsible for the results that we get in every area of our life, no exception.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really powerful takeaway for anyone on this call. I know the people I've seen who have moved into that space of 100% responsibility have literally transformed their lives just with that one simple thought. And, yeah, I know that to be very, very powerful. Now, Shelby, I was just wondering how you actually became interested in helping people overcome their limited beliefs or limited thinking.
Well, you know, for me, it's interesting because, you know, it never happens the way we think. And although I went to school and majored in psychology and have a degree in developmental psychology, when I graduated college, I noticed that, you know, in order to really get any kind of decent income in being a psychologist, you really got to go for a doctorate. And I kind of decided, nope, that wasn't for me. I didn't love school enough. I love to read. I love to self-educate. But there was something about the school system that I just don't resonate with. And so, you know, I did my time and then I was out. And so I went into sales. And it really started, Damien, when I started to notice, you know, that I was surrounded by, you know, the corporate world, corporate America, which, you know, even till this day still has the majority being male. So here I am in a female in a guy's world, and, you know, so there's a leg up on it. I'm a single mom, and most of my colleagues, if they did have children, had wives, so they definitely weren't, you know, single parenting. And, you know, I had, you know, all responsibilities, and yet I had a list of clients and they had a list of clients. And we all attended the same mandatory training, and we were all given the same books to read and fed the same Kool-Aid, and yet we all had different varying degrees of results. And then you would begin to notice that when I would talk to these colleagues of mine, because, you know, we worked in groups, and you know, oftentimes our clients overlapped, and one person would move from one company to another, and just like in any good business, you need to be friends with everybody because everybody can serve you in some way. But, you know, meeting and talking with these people on as a daily basis as I did, you know, you would begin to hear the wording, and they would say what they thought. And we were on, you know, sales meeting calls, and they'd say, oh, there's no way I'm going to come close to my quota. I mean, we've only got 2 weeks left, and it just isn't going to happen. And I would see how one guy is already totally defeated, and somebody else is saying, yeah, but none of my guys buy until the last 2 days of the quarter anyway. So, you know, I'm still in Aruba for another week. I'll let you know when we're, you know, give me 36 hours and I'll get you my facts. And so it became apparent that, you know, what they were thinking and what they believed is everything to do with the results that they got. And me, you know, without going into too much of my background, you know, I haven't had a lot of advantages. You know, I came from a very, very middle-class family, and, you know, I've always been the black sheep of the family, and I've always thought differently than everyone in my family. And, you know, I was the oldest, and so there was no pre-paving path for me, and I just realized that, you know, anything that happened to me, I knew I could deal with it. And so rather than having things, which at times, I'll be honest, really looked like a heap of not a good, fun place to be, I thought, you know, there's no way this is happening without me somehow this making me grow in some way, and just really began to realize that I am the one that's telling the story about everything that happens to me. So here I am, a single mom in the early 90s, and I had no desire to marry my son's father. You know, we were great companions but had no desire to be married to each other. And so, you know, it was so interesting how I would meet people, and it would be, some people would be like, oh, my gosh, that's so exciting. You know, you're going to be a single mom. And then other people would be like, oh, my gosh, I feel so sorry for you, you know. You're never going to find a man that's going to want you. And some people would be like, oh, my gosh, you're going to go on welfare, right? And, again, all different opinions about it. And all while, not really conscious of it at the time, is all projection, right? It's all what other people believe about the story that they tell themselves about being a single mom. That's the story she has. Oh, means no one's going to ever want you. Oh, that's the story she has. Well, that means I would just need to go on welfare. I could never afford it on my own. But the more I kind of noticed that me being pregnant had nothing to do with it. Because
that's
if
really
it did, they'd all have the same response to it, right? So when you begin to realize that everything that happens to you in life is just a mirror in which you can somehow reflect to know where it is you are, to know what it is you're feeling, to know what it is you believe, and just look at it like it's a road sign going down the street. Okay, now we're going 35 miles an hour. Now we're going 40 kilometers. This is what it is. That's all it is. And anything that you make it mean is you. This is your stuff. This is the grist for the mill.
Yeah. This reminds me of a lady who, her name actually escapes me, but she did do a lot of touring around with Wayne Dyer, but she actually survived the Rwandan massacre when her entire family was killed and all her friends were killed, and the only way she survived was actually being looked after by a priest in a local church, and her and a group of five or six ladies actually spent 3 or 4 months sitting in a bathroom while the massacres were happening and while the violence was spreading around. And she, literally straight after the massacre, she was evacuated out of there, and she described how she re-met that group of women who she spent the 4 months contained within a single bathroom. And the one thing she said that was really, really interesting was that every single one of those women had a completely different experience. And you think about the actual environment they were in, you couldn't get a more contained space for a contained period of time, and you'd think that they'd have a pretty similar experience. But she said literally they all six of them had radically different experiences. And just with that story, I just really got how powerful perceptions are and how powerful beliefs are in terms of dictating how our experience through life.
Well, and let me comment on that. And the gal's name is Immaculee Ilibagiza, and the book is Left to Tell, and it's a fabulous
book.
That's
the one,
So, you know, those of you out there, you want to get it. It's Immaculee Ilibagiza. It's put on by Hay House, and it's called Left to Tell. And the point to dovetail into what you just said, Damien, is that if people really realize just how miraculous and important their own desires were, they would never try to have somebody else's desires. And if they really got onto the fact that, you know, you can have 100 people in a room and all have them draw one thing and it will all look different no matter who does the drawing, because we're all so unique and we're all in this game right now where we're trying to be all the same thing. And that's why it's not working. It's why it will never work when you're trying to buy into something just because somebody else told you to buy into it. I mean, if you really knew just how important your individual beliefs and desires and thoughts and creations were, you would be so not interested in trying to figure what somebody else's is and do what they're doing, right? Because if we all had the same desire, we'd all do the exact same things. And so that perspective piece that we're all given is what makes us unique. It's what's going to create the life that we individually want. It's why, you know, they make thousands of fashions, because we all don't want the same thing. And that's the beauty behind it, right? We have to quit trying to do it just because Joe does it and Joe's had success at it. Well, Joe's had success because that's what he really feels good doing and that's what his beliefs are. But if you're trying to be Joe, making $1 million a year, and you don't have beliefs, you're going to crash and burn. So those desires that come within you that say, oh, you know, I'd really like to do this, no matter how far-fetched or left brain, that's where your money is. That's where the easiest path for happiness will be. And so you want to start going there. You want to start really owning the fact that you are 100% responsible and you've been given those little nudges and inklings and desires for a reason. It's like the breadcrumbs in the Hansel and Gretel story. If you follow those breadcrumbs, you'll be led right there. When you try to eat somebody else's just because they've done it their way is recipe for disaster. And the more we can kind of own the fact that, you know, we're 100% responsible, and so I'm going to do this and I'm going to follow my own inner inkling, the easier it's going to be. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, really don't understand just how powerful their perspective is. And it's not just some random thing that you want the things that you want.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Shelby, I was just wondering if you were actually born with rock-solid beliefs, or was it something you had to work on over time?
You're definitely not born with them, but you definitely are indoctrinated with them.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, so you've got to think about this, and it's a great question, Damien, because it goes a little something like this, right? You've got a newborn baby, and, you know, for the first 9 months, you know, the very first 9 months, I mean, we're completely out of control, right? It's completely guided by faith that our toes grow, hair, eye, all of it. We have no participation in that whatsoever. We're not doing anything. We're being done. And then we come into the world, and it's the same thing again, right? We couldn't fend for ourselves if we tried. Again, we're not doing it. We're being done. And then our parents start saying things like, don't fall. Don't run. No, don't do this. No, no, no. This means, you know, don't put your fingers in the light socket. And all of a sudden the perspective, which was, you know, I know exactly what I'm doing. All I have to kind of do is moan and groan and I get what I want. Now we kind of get the inverse. It's like I was doing another radio show and this same type of story came up, and I said, it's amazing how when they're young, we encourage the risk. It's like we want them to walk. We want them to push past those boundaries, you know. It's like we want them to let go. And then somehow when we start to do that, it's now like, okay, now I need to keep you from making any mistakes. And so all of our parents, it's with good intention too, I might add, okay? It really is with good intention. But I was just somebody that started to notice that, you know, if you look at nature, yes, they love their young, but it's all about making them independent. It's all about them fending for themselves as quickly as humanly possible, right? It's like the goal is to get them here, get them through those first critical ages, and then send them on their way. It's not to have them hang around forever and then tell them how the world works. It's to get them walking. That's it. And
yeah,
what
yeah.
we do is, I think, you know, parenting is something of an anathema to me, because all we're doing is trying to keep them just like us. And what people don't get is, if you really listen to mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, they didn't have desires for internet businesses. They didn't have dreams of making $1 million and having millions of clients around the world and being able to work at home. They didn't have those desires. So the beliefs that they had that they gave to us are not going to be beliefs that enable us to do the things that we're desiring. You've got to let them go. Because all of these models that we've made up on how life works, we've made with beliefs that were given to us in a time that just cannot support what it is we're looking to do now. And this is the rub. This is why people make that same income year after year. It's like those beliefs have to be upgraded. You've got to start believing something different in order for change to happen. You cannot keep believing what you've always believed, or else you'll keep getting what you've always gotten. It's just the way it is. So people do have to at some point, and, you know, the beauty, you know, I'm going to use the word beauty, and some people may go, ugh. But the beauty behind this is it takes, you know, usually we manifest a crisis of some kind in our lives, and then we have to reevaluate what it is we think. We have to go back to the drawing board. It's like that crisis is big enough. It stops us dead in our tracks enough to say, you know what, I need to maybe rethink how I'm thinking about this. So a lot of people in the, you know, dealing with the financial crises right now, right, this is nothing more than, you know, your beliefs just are not in tune with what you're thinking here. You're not there yet. There's something that needs to shift within you. You need to get a little bit clearer. And the more people can try and bypass that without having to go to crisis, right? The signs are always there. It's so funny when I work with a client and they say something to me like, okay, Shelby, all of a sudden now I've got these financial problems. And I say, really? And they're like, yep, it just happened in the last 6 months. And if they really are honest with themselves, they've had problems with money for a lot longer than this. It's just now the problem's so big they can't avoid it. So people think that these things that happen are like all of a sudden out of nowhere, you know, left ball field. But it's not. I mean, these are just those whispers that we didn't listen to, and then those slight little nudges that we didn't listen to, and then we got a little bit more of a, you know, trip, and we really didn't listen to that. So now it's like, oh, at the knees. You're down. You're on your bum. That's it. Now you're going to look at it. And it's not necessary. It's not necessary to have to go that route.
It's amazing how many people I've seen take that route, and I've personally taken that route myself. And just those moments in time where you literally have to pay attention. And for me, it was a near death experience on the side of a freeway. And I know many people actually are so grateful for these wake up calls that actually pass us and call us forward into actually getting off the wrong path and onto the right path. But I just think it's very valuable, whatever it is, the thing that propels you forward, that you embrace it and you go with it.
Absolutely.
Now, Shelby, as I mentioned before, we've had questions come in from people from all around the world. It's really been phenomenal, the quality of questions that we've received this week. And with this, I thought I'd begin with a question from Phil in the United Kingdom. And Phil asks, if I have a belief that by not taking high-risk actions, I will avoid failure and avoid being negatively judged by others, by transcending that belief, wouldn't I be putting myself in danger and inviting ridicule?
Well, and so my answer would be he answered his own question now, didn't he? Because he laid out what he wants to let go of, and he also laid out what his objection to letting go of it is, right? So how brilliant. It's like I love the mind. It's like people don't know what their blocks are. Write them down because it'll tell you. So, Phil, yes, you have a belief that if you let them go, then you'll be, you know, if you let the gangbusters and success, that, you know, you're going to be ridiculed. That's really what it is. And so you've got to ask yourself, right, is this true 100% of the time? Is this always true that if I become successful, I immediately get ridiculed? And if you can find even one example in that file of your mind that says, no, it didn't happen here, you know, I'm a good mom or a good father or a good brother, and I don't get ridiculed for being a good brother or for being a good son, nobody makes fun of me because I love my mom, then you begin to, you know, just notice how it's not true 100% of the time, which means that you can choose to make it mean something else. The law of gravity is something that whether I want to agree with it or Damien wants to agree with it, or you feel agree with it, it's true 100% of the time. So anything that's not true 100% of the time means that it's optional how we perceive it. So just show yourself that it's not, you know, you can think of lots of examples where you're not ridiculed for stepping out, for being successful, for getting what you want, and then make a decision that, you know, this is no longer going to be a truth for you. You're going to believe that you can absolutely have the best of both worlds. You're going to look for examples of lots of people who are stepping out in a big way and who are not being ridiculed and who have enjoy it, right? Seek and you shall find. This is the beauty of the mind. It's a goal-seeking mechanism. The reticular activating system is what it's called. But our mind seeks to make the pictures true. That's it. So if you're picturing being ridiculed, your mind's going to find that right, perfect person to do just that. So start changing, choosing the mind. I tell people, you know, be the producer of the show. Quit watching Friday the 13th and running scared every time. You know, put on Pollyanna for an afternoon. You know, what's wrong with having a movie where you get it every time, where the client says yes, where you run into that somebody, where you wake up and your, you know, your pants fit looser and you're feeling more energetic? Why not play that movie? And the answer is because we're really addicted to these stories of how life sucks. That's the bottom line. We really cannot be happy. The mind, the ego, I should say, you know, its job is to be, you know, Daryl the Downer. And so it really is going to try to find a way to say, nope, too good to be true. Nope, that's not reality. And then you reflect back, and that's definitely not how Mom and Dad did it, or Grandma and Grandpa, or your aunt or uncle. Right? Everybody's always done the hard way. That's the righteous way, right? That old work ethic that, you know, people, it's so funny how many have that Puritan work ethic. They want to work hard, and then they want to work from home, and they're reading a book called The 4-Hour Work Week. It's like, are you kidding? You're completely working against yourself. So just know that it's a choice, Phil, and You know the answers to all your own questions, and it's just a matter of choosing something different. It's a matter of choosing a new way to tell yourself that story. And the way I'm going to recommend everybody start is to do something the way you've never done it. So shower in the reverse order, you know, make your coffee in the reverse order, take a different ride to the store, to the office, you know, do your hair in a different order. Start doing things differently, and you will find that the mind will move that much quicker in a new direction because you've got habits. And while you do those things that you do every day, you think the thoughts you think every day. And so change it up. You know, put your socks on differently. Put your other shoe on first. Put your pants on a different way. And watch how different thoughts start coming to you. But it is like anything else, right? You can't go to a gym, hand a guy $1,000 and say, I want you to go in and do 1,000 sit-ups for me. I want them to be good sit-ups. I want me to have a six-pack when you're done doing my sit-ups. So go in there. I want you to do 1,000 sit-ups and make them count. Go. Well, you can't possibly think, even if you did that, that you're going to get the results. I mean, you've got to be the one to do the sit-ups, right? You've got to be the one. So you've got to be the one to do it a little differently, think just a little differently, and make room for the new idea.
That's a great answer. I just remember reading a fantastic book called How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci, and Leonardo was just renowned for continually working parts of his mind, body, in ways that he'd never done before. So he was totally ambidextrous, would paint with his left hand just as well as he painted with his right hand, and he was always cultivating just that mental dexterity and flexibility and being able to do things that most people would just pass off as the ridiculous, but just by doing that just gave him so many more options and was probably the main reason why he was a genius in 35 different fields of endeavour. Great. Now I've got a question from Asta in Senegal, Shelby, and Asta asks, how can I find all of my limiting beliefs and transcend them when they're present in so many areas of my life?
Okay, so it's a beautiful question, Esther, and here's the answer. So you want to know what your beliefs are, you need to look at your results. And a snapshot at any given moment about what's going on will tell you what it is you believe, okay? And the beauty about the mind is that it cannot do something that's, I'm going to use the word harmful, it cannot do something that's harmful to itself consciously. So You know, when you take things like smoking, the only way somebody can smoke, and I was a smoker in corporate America for 12 years, so, you know, this is not speaking from any kind of, you know, oh, I've never smoked before, so I don't know what it's like. I love smoking. But when you smoke, you can only smoke unconsciously. It's only when you are not really conscious about what it is that you're doing, because there's so many things that are not positive about smoking that your body would not, you know, do that consciously. So when people start to notice, when they even start to question, what is it I believe here? You know, what is it? Why is it that I'm getting this result again and again? What is it that I must think? The minute you begin to notice, when you become conscious, it falls away. It's like all of a sudden that belief kind of evaporates, and it's like, what? I don't remember what it was I believed. It's like it goes, it vanishes. So we can only think these things that, like, you know, there's not enough money and it's really hard to get money and nobody shares, I've got to hoard it, I can't give it to anybody else, or I've got to... We only think those things and believe them because we don't know it. We're not conscious of it. Because as soon as you're conscious, you go, of course I don't believe that. Like, why would I want to work hard for money? Seriously. Why, if given the choice of making it easy or hard, would anybody pick the hard way? I've got a 5-mile way to the store, or a 10-foot way to the store. Which way do you want? Oh, no, I want 5 miles. Nobody's going to pick the hard way. We're picking it because we're not looking, right? It's really because we're ignoring all signs. I kind of talk about programs. You know when you're on your computer and that little thing kicks up and it says, you know what, something's out of date and you need to update, or you're at risk of getting a virus. And if we're really busy or we've got something going on, we kind of minimize it. And it's like we put it in the bottom right-hand tray. We don't want to know about it. And then, like, 5 days later or 3 days later, the reminder goes off again. You know, you really need to update. It's time for your update. Nah, do it now, later. And at some point, we get the virus. And then we're really, you know, upset that we got the virus. And it's like, oh, now I got a virus. I must have been doing something wrong. And it's like, no, you had a lot of signal there for a very long time, and you just didn't notice. So I often ask clients to think of it this way. If you had a friend just like you, and this friend is you, right? So you're looking at you, but as another person. And they've got all the issues that you do. What do you think their problem is? You know, what advice would you give them? And it's amazing how when we take ourselves out of it, how we'd say, oh, you know, I'd tell her to leave the guy. I mean, she really, it's not a good relationship. Or I would say, you know, get on with it. Why can't you just make it happen? You keep talking about it. I would just take action. You know you're going to do something. And so we know what we need to do. Believe it or not, there's nobody on this call that doesn't know what they need to do. They just are maybe not wanting to hear what it is that they need to do. Maybe they're not willing to let go of the old story. That's typically the catch, is I've got to give up this old victim story for something new. And just like when you go to the store, you have to physically leave your house. And there's a period of time when you're on your way to the store that you're not in your house and you're not in the store. You're in a period on the way to the store, but you still have to leave the house. And a lot of us, we don't feel real comfortable with, okay, I'm going to leave what I've always done and I'm going to go to where I want to go. But in the meantime, there is a, you know, a little bit of a distance of where I'm nowhere. And I'm telling you, when you play in that little distance between the nowhere is when life just gets, you know, out of control fabulous. But when you're stuck at home, you can't know what's going on at the store. And even if somebody calls and tells you, you still got to leave. So get to stepping, I tell people. I mean, you know what you've got. Worst case scenario, go back to doing what you're doing because you know what you've got. So there is no risk. If you branch outside that comfort zone, which is what you must do, and if you're listening to this call in any way, shape, or form, that's exactly where you're going to be sooner or later because you're here. So there's no accident on that. So the sooner you start going, the quicker you're going to get there. But if you're sitting there waiting for the store to come to you, much like with your groceries, you'll be waiting quite a while. So I say, you know, give it a whirl. Notice, you know, write them down. It's always great to get another perspective. It's always different when you hear yourself. It's the beauty of any kind of coaching at all, is you get somebody else that can reflect back what it is you're claiming. Because a lot of us just don't know what we're really saying even. And a great example of this, have you ever, and I'm sure everybody has, you have a significant other, maybe it's even family, somebody close to you, and you're having an argument. And as you're arguing, all of a sudden you find that you say something, and the minute you hear yourself say it, you go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. It's like the words are just so habitual that they just rolled right off your tongue, and then when you heard yourself say it, it was like, oh, I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. And this is what we're doing all day long, but we're just not tuned into it enough to notice. Because if we did, we'd be like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I just said that. I can't believe I just thought this is not going to happen. Why bother? Or why bother going? You're not going to meet anybody anyway. Or I don't really get on well at networking meetings. What's the use? I'm not. If we heard what we were saying, then we'd be like, of course I can't expect to be getting what I want. But because it's rolling around in our mind and, you know, it's something you've said every other day in the past, you know, 385 days, you just don't, you're not conscious of it. So I would tell people, write it down. I would say, Esther, write down all the things that you believe and then go back and notice, is this something that I want? It's a choice. You know, there's nobody saying this is what you must believe. There's nobody sitting on your shoulder saying, you thought this yesterday and you must think it today. You know, it's the thing that kills me. I was talking with somebody on the phone and they said, well, it's because it's my word. I gave them my word. Well, at the time, that was your word. But that doesn't mean it's your word today, right? Have you ever said anything and now you have a new perspective of it? Like maybe, you know, when you were 18, you thought, I'm going to stay out and party until I'm 5 a.m. for the rest of my life. This is a life. I'm going to do this forever. And that's your truth when you're 25. But when 35 rolls around, your truth changes. It doesn't mean that when you were 25, you were wrong.
Very powerful. Just giving yourself the opportunity to change your mind when it's no longer right for you. I think it's so many people try and present a consistent face to the world and in the end just sell out their own personal truth. So I just think that's a really, really powerful distinction to reserve the right to change your mind when it's appropriate.
Yeah, even if it's an hour later. This is
totally,
the thing.
Yeah.
This is where people don't realize that all the suffering that we put ourselves through, we're doing. It's like there's a commercial here in the States, and it's like, you know, I'm going to stick it to the man, and the man you're sticking it to is you, right? So all the struggle, all the, you know, beating yourself up in the misery, it's because you're literally, you know, you're doing it to yourself. And when at any moment you can say, you know what, I thought that yesterday. Yes, I did. I really thought that's what important to me, but today it's different, and that's it.
It's one of my favorite Radiohead songs. There's a lyric that says, you do it to yourself, that's what really hurts.
Exactly.
I think the things, most of our pain is generated because of us rather than any externalities. Great. That's a really, really powerful answer. Thanks for that, Shelby. Now, I've got a question here from Jennifer, and Jennifer's in South Africa. And Jennifer asks, how do you identify which limiting belief is causing the unwanted events around you, and how then do you change it to achieve what you wish for?
Okay, Jennifer, so what you're going to do is you're going to look at, you know, what it is that you're not liking. So, you know, whenever somebody's got an area of their life where they're not liking the results, the way it works, you know, if I could sum up manifesting, you know, in 20 seconds or less, it's when we have a desire, like to be, have a business, to be a stay-at-home mom, whatever it is, that desire is like the universe saying, boom, this is what you can do. Go do it. And we think, gosh, that sounds really great. I would love to do this. I'd love to marry a rock star. I'd love to be in a band, whatever it is. That desire, we get it. We think, gosh, that would be a nifty idea. That's the green flag to say go. Anything that you believe that's counter to that desire, anything that says, nope, it can't happen, it's too soon, I'm not worthy enough, I don't know enough, they'll not like me, any belief that you have that comes up when you think of that desire are the beliefs that are getting in your way. That's the story. Because you have been given that desire or that idea or that inkling because it's something that you want. And so if to not move forward is like telling the universe, no, I don't really, no, you know, you want the car, universe says, okay, go get the car, this is how you get the car. Nope, I'm not getting the car. Bring the car to me. And universe says, nope, this is the way you want it. You want this. Here's the idea to go do it. Boom, in your head. And you go, oh, that'd be a great idea. And universe is going, yay, keep going. And then you go, nope, it can't happen for me. Nope, I want the car. So then universe throws another idea. And so we have to start noticing when the idea or the desire pops up and then how we talk ourselves out of it or talk it down or, you know, get, we rationalize. That's like the word of the day, rationalize, which really means we're rationing lies. Lies.
Great.
Okay? It's nothing more than rationing lies. So when you start to think, oh, let me get really serious about this, this is when you start to, like, dumb down the idea. It's like when you start to go back to how everybody else thinks. And this really is the rub, because 99% of the people that you meet do not believe that you think it first. They think you've got to do it, right? We're not, they really think that they're the one that do it. And a good distinction for everybody is that if you think you're the one that does it is why it's so hard. And a great analogy for this is gardening. Okay, yes, you've got to get some soil that has a reasonable amount of nutrients, okay? And you do have to put the seed in the ground, and you do have to water it. But that's all you do. You don't make the sun come up or down. You don't do the growing of the seed. You don't do the growing of your hair or the growing of your eyebrows or the digesting of your food. You don't do any of that. It's being done. And so is everything that you want. Your desires, really, if you really want a great quantum physics kind of way to look at it, your desires are just the way that will make you happiest to get what it is you really want, right? I mean, we really are geared for success. It's just, are we going the path less that, you know, makes us happy or the path that we think we should be doing?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the word that people really want to watch out for is should. I should do this. I should be here. Mm-hmm. I should have this many clients. I should. You know, you should all over yourself. And it's not a good thing because it means that there's some other ideal that you're, in a sense, comparing yourself to, and you want to start to ask yourself, where or who is that ideal? Who is this voice that I keep shooting to? You know, who is it that's saying I should? Is it your mom's voice? Is it your, who is it? You know, where is this outside ideal that we're holding ourselves to? And, you know, just start asking the questions, and you'll notice how these patterns start flooding your mind about, you know, well, it's got to be really difficult. And that's going to be one everybody has. You know, there is something too easy about, you know, doing something you really love and having, you know, work just, you know, all day long, just be a complete blissed out. I mean, it's just not something that's emulated a lot. But that doesn't mean it's not there. Just because it's easy doesn't mean it's going to get you what you know what I'm saying? People think, oh, it's too hard to find people who are really doing it. That may be true, but there's people who are doing it. So what's your excuse?
Totally. Cool. I love that. Love the answer, and I certainly love the rational lies. That's brilliant. Now, Shelby, there was one area that I was particularly fascinated about leading into this call, and it's also been asked by Kate, who is in the United Kingdom, around the whole topic of graphology. And Kate asks, what's the actual significance of one's handwriting in revealing beliefs?
Oh, so this is something that's like one of those, you know, sour candies. It's part of my business. It's like that really tart candy that you just love to kind of, you know, you get it really excited when you get to eat. It makes your mouth water. That's what graphology is for me. And it's the study of handwriting, like Gail had mentioned. And the beauty about handwriting and why I was so attracted to it is our handwriting is a direct link to the subconscious mind. So, you know, they began, and, you know, this is right up your alley, Damien, you know, somebody started studying the fact that, you know, certain people that all had a certain trait had all certain different characteristics in their handwriting. And after years of evolution, they began to realize, oh, my gosh, look at this. There's an actual science behind the strokes and where we cross letters and the loops and the angles that all say something about our personality traits. So fears and stresses, and you can see disease, believe it or not, in handwriting. You can see temperaments, people's, anything that's related to personality traits and those emotions. So it's a direct link to the subconscious mind. And the beauty, too, that's like doubly profound about handwriting is when you change your handwriting, you're going to change those subconscious beliefs. So you can change, you know, your confidence. You can change, you know, somebody who's always been very loner-like, you know, doesn't like mingling in large crowds. You can change all kinds of perspectives and personality traits through handwriting because, again, it's a direct link. So I love it for people who maybe don't know what some of their fears are or they're trying to work against how they're naturally wired. So, you know, if you meet somebody who lives in the moment, right, and really has a strong wiring to live in the now as much as possible, to try and get them to do a 3-year plan is going to be agony because they're somebody who really thinks about very short periods of time. So to make them have to think in a different way, it's not going to feel good for them. It's not going to be something they can get their mind around. And so all of that would do nothing but frustrate them. So rather than work against that, you're going to want to find, you know, opportunities, jobs, people that would, you know, harmonize with somebody who's a little more free-spirited than somebody who wants the 10-year financial plan.
Mm.
And when you, so like if you're an employer, another fabulous way, you know, people, you're dating somebody, I tell you it's fabulous for me, you know, friends, family, any employees I want to hire, send them over some handwriting. I can tell if they're honest. I can tell what if they're really in alignment, if their personality really is for this job. You know, if you want somebody who's outgoing and likes people and they're a complete introvert, I mean, that's not going to be a beautiful alignment, right? So, you know, anytime you want to look at, you know, beliefs, what somebody thinks, feels, you can see it all in handwriting. And for anybody who's wondering, because I guess I can feel it, is it legal? Because I do get people that say, oh, my gosh, is it legal then? And, yes, anytime somebody writes something, they're assuming that it's going to be, you know, anything written is legally. You can look at it. You can. So, you know, the presidential candidates, it's amazing to the insight.
Well.
So, yeah, it's just another tool that I utilize that really has always intrigued me on how we think it's these, you know, people think I'm the only one that has this belief. I'm so unique. And, you know, if they could see it from my perspective for even a day and the amount of emails, I mean, you see the theme in all of them, huh, Damien? And people think they're the only one.
Totally. It's amazing.
And,
like,
and
just having done these calls for the last year, it's the actual core concerns, there's not a whole lot of them. And I'd say probably recurring week to week, regardless of the topic that we speak about, there's probably 10 core themes that all human beings are affected by at some level in some area of their life. And I guess the things with challenges, we can actually feel quite isolated, but actually knowing that it's probably very, very similar to most human beings actually walking the planet. And even just that awareness alone can help people just transcend whatever it is they're up against. But I certainly see that in all the work I do all the time as well, Shelby. And I just wanted to say, like, I absolutely loved what you said with just seeing disease in handwriting. And that is phenomenal for anyone who's looking to change the health side of their life. And is it just possible by changing the style of handwriting that you can actually heal yourself as well, Shelby?
Well, you know, I don't think there's been any evidence of that. It's amazing, like I said, how we make certain strokes. And so that's where we detect it, right, is where there's the continuing. Like when my sister was pregnant, you could see in certain letters she would have this same spot where it's like she held the pen a little longer and it bled just a little bit longer on the, you know, on the Bic pens. and you would see it on every single curved letter. And that's, you know, the abdomen, and you know, you can tell, yes, I don't know that you can heal anything, however. It's more of detection. It's more of, you know, did you know that you've got a back problem or a left knee problem or just another way, I think, of blowing somebody's mind at just how linked we really are and how it's so not random. You know, if people can really take home how all those thoughts, all those ideas, all the people you meet, all the things that are happening are so not random. It's so perfectly aligned that if you could just kind of sift it, you know, sort through, see what you want to see, and, you know, how easy things can happen rather than doing it this laborious way. And there's one little thing I want to kind of throw out there at the end. Louise Hay, who is a treasured soul in any kind of personal development, the gal I just absolutely adore, but she had an affirmation that I really think kind of sums up the importance of beliefs. And I'm going to not get it verbatim, but the affirmation goes something like, creative inner work is more powerful than any hard outer labor. Mm-hmm. And so if people really could, you know, before they go on, you know, the do, to really kind of sit back and think, why is it I believe that I've got to do all this doing? I mean, what is that I really think about it? What is it I really believe that they would do themselves such a service rather than going, it's worth, you know, 100 hours of work to just contemplate what it is you really believe and really think about the things that mean the most. You know, how do you really think about, how do you really feel around money? You know, if somebody gave you $3,000 cash, you know, how would that make you feel? Are you nervous? You know, do you want to put it in a bank? Because, you know, my mom, still to this day, she goes to she cashes a check for $20. It's like, what can you buy for $20? Right? So when I'm around her and I open up my wallet and I've got $1,000 cash, she's just like, I can't believe you carry that much cash. And it's like, you know, I might want to buy something. So just really note how, you know, what you believe, what you're telling yourself, and all the answers will, you know, they will show themselves.
Cool. That's very, very good advice, Shelby. Now, Shelby, we've actually, we're coming up to the end of the hour, and I want to say I've had a just phenomenal time actually this evening over the past hour, and I've taken copious amounts of notes and made some really powerful distinctions for myself, and I have no doubt that many people listening through this call this evening or who will be listening back to the recording on the People You Should Meet website will be having similar experiences, and that they'll, I suppose, be in that position where they want to know more about Shelby and the work that you do and, I guess, the programs that you run. I was just wondering if you could give people a bit of a heads up on how they can actually stay in contact with you and stay in touch with you and actually find out more about your work.
Yeah, and I'm going to encourage everybody. I'm going to give you a website, and there you can download for free my top 50 limiting beliefs and how to release them. So it'll kind of sum up some of them. There's a check sheet where you can mark them off. It's a great tool, and then you'll be given the guided steps to release them. And you can find that at www.shelby, S-H-E-L-B-Y, and then Collinge, collinge.com/Damien, like Damien Sen, damien.htm. So shelbycollinge.com/Damien.htm, and there you'll see there's a short email and name, and you can get those top 50 limiting beliefs, and it's a PDF, and you can print it out, and you can reflect on it often, and you can use it when things start going a little sideways. It'll pull you right back on track, and then when you do that, you'll get an offer for my top three audios, and, you know, it's a fabulous program. There's three of them. They're 60 minutes. A little longer than 60 minutes each, on the power of now, the truth about money, how to allow more, and also on guilt and what the powerful negative effects guilt has on our success and on holding us back. And so you can get those, that three pack, and also there's a free special bonus if you order within the 24 hours, and you'll get a group coaching call that I did. I took 6 clients, and they're people that you'll absolutely resonate with their setbacks and their fears, and anger was one of them, and really I coach them through how to change their perspective, and it's really illuminating when you can see how the beliefs will dissolve. It's like when you just notice them, how things just dissolve, and how, you know, really things are a lot more complicated or a lot easier than you're making them, and the complicated days are over. So definitely take a look at those audios, and you can find out more about me at my homepage, obviously, but ShelbyCollins.com/Damien is where you want to start.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Shelby, and I'll certainly be downloading the guide as well and checking through the 50 beliefs. Now, yeah, we're literally at the hour, and I just really wanted to say thanks so much, Shelby, for giving of your time this evening. Like, you've given so much incredible wealth of information to people and ideas, and you've given your time freely this evening. I just really wanted to acknowledge you for doing that, but also for dedicating your life to helping people move through their own barriers and into new possibilities for themselves. I just think it's a wonderful thing to be doing in the world.
Well, thank you, and I'm so grateful to have been here and to have gotten to share. There's nothing that lights me up more than taking responsibility and owning everything that happens to us, and you know, I look forward to our paths all crossing again.
Great. And thank you, everyone, for your amazing questions. It is a real joy to just receive them every single week, and just the level of thought and energy that goes into asking your questions. And I just want to acknowledge everyone who's participating in this ongoing weekly discussion. It's amazing for me to facilitate it, and it's amazing to have you on this incredible journey. For those of you who would love to listen to this recording again, it will be made available for free on the peopleyoushouldmeet.com website. So do check back tomorrow and listen to this recording over and over again, because I have no doubt it's going to change your life. So thanks again, everyone. Thanks again, Shelby. And I look forward to having everyone on the call very soon.
Take care. Namaste.